I just want to say I am a nature lover. I love all things natural. I love bugs, I love birds, I love animals, I love fish, I love clouds, I love rocks, I love dirt, I love worms, sticks. Sticks? Bring them on, sticks. I love it all. I grew up, spent a lot of time in the woods next door to a couple doors away from our house growing up. You can show the picture, give you briefly photo of a praying mantis here. If you know me, you know I like to, whenever we go down to, good pastor's pet, a praying mantis. It's really, really significant. And whenever we go to the conferences down in Illinois, Indiana, I typically like to find those things hanging around. And they're very friendly and they walk on you. And they're pretty cool. Over the holiday, 4th of July, I went to next photo just out in Kelly Dudley for the 4th of July. That's just a shot to the west. I was out on a kayak, went to go fishing. A couple of sunset scenes here in the next one. Oh, how did that 5-pound bass, largemouth, 20-inch photo get up there from last year? How did that get up there? Just that photo that I had to turn sideways because I couldn't fit them all in the hole. Oh, just technology snafu, I guess. Go on to the next one there. Yeah, that's to the south of Kelly Dudley, looking to the south. It's just, I love going out there. I love just being in, whether it's in the backyard under the trees or in the woods or wherever. Under the stars, whatever. And it's easy to marvel at God's creation. I love just looking, it's like, wow. And I usually like, way to go, God. That is just awesome colors on that bird or on that fish or on that sky or whatever it might be. And I, for those of you, my profession before ministry was an artist. I was an illustrator, graphic designer, photographer. So the idea, though, of nature that can easily come is that nature is perfect and it's pure. All things natural is pure, and things with mankind are all messed up. So we should elevate nature and diminish humanity, because nature is awesome and perfect and beautiful and pristine, and man is all messed up, and we need to have fewer babies because they're just gonna mess up more. You know, what this nature, this perfect nirvana is. And, you know, we have earth and nature sacred festivals. And they're held in honor of all things natural because they're godlike. It's to worship Mother Earth. So worship Mother Nature, unlike humans that are wreckers of Mother Nature. So I want to get into that. That's a mistaken perspective. Romans 1:25, it says, "And they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served." They don't just worship created things. They serve these created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And, you know, we can't deny that mankind has done some destructive things, done some damaging things to what we would say is nature. But I disagree with how the harm has come. So I'd actually admit that it was human responsibility that has brought some destruction to the natural world, but not the way that most people think, and I'm going to get into that later. I'm going to give some examples. Have you heard about the cowbird? Let's put the first photo of the cowbird. They're in our area. The cowbird has a unique story. It's called a parasite bird. It actually will lay its eggs in other birds' nests. You can put that next photo. It will lay its egg in whether it's a robin's, a sparrow, a bluebird, whatever nest, any other nest it finds, it'll deposit one of its own eggs in their nest. And before that little chick even has its eyes open, when that little baby chick cowbird is hatched, before it's even got its eyes open and go to the next one, it will push the other eggs out of the nest, whether they're in the eggs or they're actually hatched. It will push the other chicks of its host nest out to their deaths. And then the clueless mother or father that's feeding, go to the next photo, will continue to feed this foreign invader, this trespasser, dutifully feed this until it's adulthood. And so that's the cowbird story. And it's not just, I saw it on the internet, so it must be true. I mean, it's verified in multiple, many, many ways. It's common information about cowbirds. Is this part of the sacred earth that is worshipped? That kind of natural behavior? Or is that the exception? Well, that's just the exception because of evolution. It went kind of wonky in one weird direction or another. And remember, I am a nature lover. I love things. Even after finding out some things about preparing for this message, I still love being outside, love being in the woods, love worms and bugs and fish and birds and animals. But today, I want to look at the dark side of nature. And I hope this doesn't get too intense for anyone here. So I don't want to get too scary. Can we hear it? Dun, 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 dun. So I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would open our eyes to this subject. Lord, thank you for what you're doing on the earth, what you do in the natural realm, what you do in the spiritual realm. Thank you that your word says, first the natural, then the spiritual. What we understand about and learn about in the natural, we can learn what is happening and what is true in the spiritual world that we don't necessarily see with our eyes. So Lord, I pray you'd bless the time, bless this message, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I do want to acknowledge a great article that started this direction for today, this morning, in a magazine called Answers in Genesis. It's the organization out of Kentucky, I believe, that is the Ark Encounter. They built the Ark display, and it's a creation-based, God-honoring company that I think has some great stuff. And there's an article in there by Tom Hennigan that I'm going to actually read part of it. To really mess with your heads here, okay? So, how many love meerkats? Meerkats, they're cute, right? They're awesome. Meerkats. You see these guys. Well, let me teach you something about the meerkats. At first glance, the meerkat colony appears altruistic with individuals working together for each other's good. They just look like this great community, just helping each other out, dwelling together, but all is not tidy in this matriarchal mammal group. Meerkats have been called the most murderous mammals, with almost 20% of their deaths caused by other meerkats. When a larger... Sorry. Can it kind of wreck some things here? When a larger dominant female gets pregnant, the war begins as she kills the other female's pups. And that's not all. She proceeds to harass the other females, raising their stress hormones, which makes them infertile. And then the subservient females will serve and help raise the dominant one's pups. Next. Let's go to kangaroos. Kangaroos. Everyone love kangaroos, right? All right. Despite their warm and cuddly appearance, kangaroos are not pushovers. Kangaroos have been known to lure predators into water and hold them under the surface to drown them. Have a nice day. We'll see you tomorrow. See you next week. If no water is nearby, they might try to claw out the attacker's eyes In further gruesome tactics, they use their powerful back legs and sharp claws to disembowel a creature or a human. In short, these intense Australian natives put the roo in emergency room. Okay, let's go to something safe like rabbits. Let's go to rabbits here. They're cute and cuddly, right? Mother rabbits called does give new meaning to the phrase, I could just eat you up. If a doe becomes frightened or stressed, she might eat her litter of babies. Hoping to hide the traces of the vulnerable newborns from a predator and save herself to start over with a new litter. This is going on in your backyard. Okay, all right, let's really safe now. Sea otters. Let's go with sea otters. For most of us, otters epitomize carefree playfulness and cuteness. But for seal pups, otters inspire terror. Male sea otters have been known to assault seal pups, then often fatally wounding them in the process. They will kill seal pups. And they don't stop there. Some otters drag the dead body around for up to a week, continuing to assault it. They will actually tie the dead pup in the seaweed so it stays put while it goes and forages, then comes back in and assaults it some more. That's a sea otter. So I say this not just to mess with your stomach. This is a whole lot of messed up. And this, again, I looked at this and I'm like, wow, is that for real? So I did a little bit of my own research and looked at a lot of sources, and it's like, yep. Wow. Who's to blame for this? Is this the Sacred Earth Festival celebration kind of topic? Do we see nature as this pristine, pure, sacred, holy thing that's just, you know, not messed up like humanity is messed up? Is it pesticides that cause behavior like that, or herbicides, or just the encroachment of human domain over there so they get desperate and they get fearful or they do crazy things? And sorry for any kids in the room that, sorry, most of them are downstairs. So, what causes animals to go to the dark side like that? And this is an argument that atheists use against the existence of God, because they know some stories like this, and it's like, how can a good God create a natural world where that happens? And that's not even talking just about, you know, cheetahs eating baby gazelles and impalas, you know, and, you know, lions eating the young ones of the water buffalo. And I mean, it's just animals eating each other, just in what we all expect. You know how the nature shows, they show the cheetah chasing something, but they never show the cheetah actually getting it and putting the kill on. Because we try to have this wonderful, oh, nature, you know, bunnies and sea otters, and they're so cuddly and cute, and just everyone should have one. I would say, yes, mankind is to blame for this type of behavior, but not by encroachment, not by chemical use. It goes back to the beginning of creation. It goes back to the beginning. God made everything. He made people in his image. And I'm going to read a passage that goes chapter 1 of Genesis, starting in verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Have lots of babies. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Have dominion over all these things. Yes, we should be good stewards of the natural world. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for what?
Food.
For food. There was a time when every tree, every plant, every green thing existed as food for mankind. Not meat, not bacon, sorry. Green, everything green was for food. They were yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. So all the animals, all the fish, all the birds, everything ate plants. Everything was herbivores. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So this is how it was in the beginning. There wasn't eating anything but green. So what happened? What went wrong? How do we get to sea otters and kangaroos and all this going on? Why do we and animals eat each other? And I'm all for steak. This is not about it. We should all be vegetarians. Okay, because the scripture is clear that everything is clean and it's all, there's a place for it. We'll get to that. But God said, eat from any, something happened in the garden at the beginning, the human race. God said, you can eat from any tree except the one. From this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat from this. God set that up in the center, not off in the back 40 fringe of the Garden of Eden, but he put it right in the middle of the garden. God placed a tree that he said, no. No, don't eat from this one. And everything else was perfectly laid out for the abundant provision for mankind. But God, who did not make robots, made people with a free will that can choose to do what they want with their lives. He had to have something in there to give them the opportunity to honor God and to obey God's lordship over their lives. And so he has this tree that he says, don't eat from this. And he even told them, when you eat from this tree, you will die. Death didn't exist. There was no death. When you eat from this one tree, you will die. So stay away from it. Don't eat it. Don't go there. But we know they went there. They were deceived into disobeying God. That's what brought everything else tumbling down. And the curse came as a result of disobedience to God. The wickedness of man and animals got to be so bad that God says he regretted even making them. And I'm going to read a few chapters later, the flood, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. And I want you to see something. And his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them all. Grieved that I have made mankind, that I have made animals that are just destroying each other. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, it had gone from just herbivores, everything being plant eaters, to total destruction of murder, of just lots of harm, lots of destruction in the human world and in the animal world. So I'm going to move on to a renewal of the covenant that God gave to Adam and Eve. He gave to Noah and his family after the flood, after they landed on dry ground. And I'm going to read out of Genesis 9, just 12 and 13. It says, and God said, this is the sign, not a sign, this is the sign. Hold on. I skipped a verse. I'm going to go to the beginning. Before I get to the sign, 9 verses 1 and 1 to 3. Okay, chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Same, almost identical words that he gave Adam and Eve. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. This was a new declaration, a new statement, a new reality for mankind. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. So God makes it very clear. I mean, went from herbivores to now they're carnivores, and God's blessing is on it. All the animals are for your food, just like all the plants were for your food. And then he gave a sign, and he gave a sign, and this is significant, and we know after the flood, he says in verse 12 of chapter 9, God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and what? And every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign, not a sign, but it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And he goes on to say, I mean, he specifically says, all the animals, it's between me and all the created things, every kind of living creature, the rainbow. And you see why the rainbow is such a controversial subject. Because it was a sign, the sign, given to mankind that God would never destroy the earth, destroy humanity, or destroy the natural world of animals, fish, birds, creeping things, living creatures. And you can see why it's such an object of wrestling. It's because God says he cares. God's life, God's mission, God's purpose for us is tied into the natural world, the animal world. It's not just about, oh, the animal world is perfect and we're all messed up and Jesus came for humanity. Jesus came for it all, to restore it all. If you start even many of the songs we did today, Jesus identifies himself not only with us as the Son of Man, but he identifies and I don't want to get too weird, but the animal kingdom. He is the lamb who was slain. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. I mean, there's a lot of connections, a lot of identifying, even in the four-faced creature vision of Ezekiel that's also mentioned in Revelation. The four-faced creature, the living creature, represents the Gospels, the four sides of Jesus, man, eagle, the ox, and the lion. The statues out in front of this church outside represent those four writers of the Gospel and the four animals or the four creatures. I mean, God is connected to it all. He didn't just wipe out. He says, I regret even making mankind and the animal world. But because God is a restorer, he's a redeemer, and he redeemed humankind by having Adam and his eight, you know, his family members, eight of them, and the animals on the ark, because he was starting over. He was wiping away a certain thing. Now the sin kept going. The disorder kept going because We needed a Savior. It wasn't enough to just start over, because quickly Noah was found drunk and abusing alcohol. Quickly. I mean, one of the first things they did that's written about after they offered sacrifices of some of the clean animals, he was found to be inappropriate. And so the sin nature still continued because it was in the line of Adam. It was in the human race. And that's why it's so significant that there is one answer. But everything continues to groan. In Romans 8:22, all creation, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, pains of a broken arm are completely different than the pains of childbirth. Yeah. Amen. Amen, said a multi-mother. Pains of childbirth are there, but you know what's coming is something wonderful.
Yeah.
Something glorious.
Yeah.
Something to celebrate. Something to have a party about. All creation, the whole creation, is groaning in the pains of childbirth. There's a discomfort, there's a wearing out, there's a tension, there's a pressure, but it's not for destruction, which part of that will come. That's another message. Part of that will come. It says the earth is wearing out like a garment. But there's a hope that is coming. And we know who the hope is. In Acts 3:21, says, "And he, the resurrected Jesus, must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." Jesus is the answer to the natural world. He's the answer to the human world. He's the answer naturally. He's the answer spiritually. He's the answer to the problem that was brought on to all creation by the rebellion, the disobedience of mankind to God.
Yeah.
It's a destruction that came through disobedience, the resulting curse that God brought death, sickness, more rebellion, and disorder to human relationships in the natural world, more than any emissions or coal burning devices could ever do. And I want to say, even though we should be good stewards of the natural world, no amount of electric cars or green laws is going to change the effects of the curse or take it away. Nothing can save this planet other than Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. Yeah, I mean, if I'm out in the woods and I see garbage, I will pick it up. I'll bring it home. I'll throw it away. We should be good stewards.
Yeah.
We should, of the church, of all people,
yeah,
should be good stewards of the creation that God made.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be throwing motor oil down the sewer drains.
Yeah.
You know, we should be, but no matter how much we do with that, no matter if we're perfectly, you know, taking care of all that we can, even as a nation, even the nations, if every nation was perfect at taking care of the planet, it's still going to wear out because it's cursed. And there's still one hope, and the only hope is Jesus Christ, who is coming back, because God so loved the world that whoever believes on him will not perish. The people and all the creatures of the world that God gave his son to die. He didn't, and I don't want to get weird, but he didn't die for the sins of the kangaroos and the rabbits. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they are affected by it, and they are groaning with the curse, under the curse of the world, that the disobedience of man to God brought on.
Yeah.
And Jesus is coming and he's going to restore everything. Everything. Isaiah 65:25 says, "The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food." The serpent who deceived Adam and Eve. "They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain." And then Revelation, and I'll finish with this. Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things, the order of people harming and destroying one another, the order of animals harming and destroying one another has passed away." That old order, there will be a day when it will pass away. And this is part of the good news of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who will solve the disorder brought on not by carbon abuse or emissions, but brought on by man's rebellion against God. That's the reason the world is a mess. It's not through any abuse or any lifestyles of the rich and famous or whatever. It's through man's rebellion against God. And the sooner we come into alignment with God's will, the better everything around us will be. Along the way, we're called to honor God, the only wise God, to honor him with every aspect of our lives. Honor him with your time, your money, your abilities, your talents. Honor the Lord. And yeah, this world will continue to be a mess. But in the meantime, there's going to be rays of sunshine along the way and people shining like stars and life change happening as we honor the Lord in the midst of it. Yeah.
It's July, but with this message, this song came to mind, and we typically don't think of it in this context, but the lyrics, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Mm-hmm. He rules the world, and he will rule the world with truth and grace. It makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." And it's like when the Lord returns, he will know exactly, he will have the wisdom and the plan to make all things right on the earth.
Amen. Amen. That's good. I hope it speaks to you. It really spoke to me, this little article. It's like, whoa, that just kind of rocked me a little bit and answers a lot of, it puts in perspective a lot of good things. God made an amazing world that was very good. He designed it originally to be very good, and yes, it's messed up by our own rebellion against God. But his grace is sufficient to help us through this messed up world. And it will not get better, it will get worse before it gets replaced when Jesus comes back and restores all things and rules and reigns and invites us to reign with him. So I'll always be a nature lover. I just am fascinated by what God does in color and in design and in every way, even in a world that has mosquitoes. Don't put up there yet. even in a world that has mosquitoes. In fact, I came across some, you know, cameras nowadays, they're just super high-tech lenses. They can zoom in and do video. I want to show you a little video of high macro, micro, what I found. Like, okay. Make it go away. Make it go away. There you go. So even in a world of mosquitoes and cockroaches and all these things and vicious sea otters, God is good. Amen. Let's stand up. I want to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the promise that you made to restore all things. Thank you for forgiving us of our sin as we come to you. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, you can right now this morning. It's so important that you choose, because God will, in many ways, he plays hide and seek. He will not make himself obvious to you, not with your natural eyes. You have to choose to put your trust in Christ. You have to say, God, help me to know you. I surrender. I surrender to you. And so I invite anyone in this room who has not done that, that you will understand that you have to choose to put your faith in the living God, in what Jesus did on the cross to pay for your sin so that you can be forgiven. And that says you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So you need to, it's not by seeing as believing, it's by believing that you will see. So I invite you to put your trust in Christ, and if you are, come up and share that with this couple over here or someone that you know that is a lover of Christ. Come and tell me. It's so important that you're not ashamed, but God will honor that. God will honor your boldness and your decision to follow him and to trust him, because this world is messed up and Jesus is the only answer and the power that will help us not just get through it but thrive in it. So Lord, I just thank you for the promises that you have, that you've already made. And God, we do marvel at your creation, but we worship you above it all. We worship you as the creator. God, we know that you are the only pure, perfect, powerful one. There is nothing else like you. There's no one else like you. God, thank you that you will make the new heavens and the new earth someday, where there will be no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no crying, no mourning, no pain. In a sense, even the earth will be born anew. God, just thank you. Just pray that you would just give us eyes to see and understand the natural world and learn the lessons from it about the spiritual world. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, Father. And I just do thank you for this Guatemala trip coming up in a few weeks. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the bake sale, bless the giving, God, that you would use us, God, to bless Guatemala, to bless 20 to 30 different villages. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Amen.